Welcome back. Today, guys, Sunrise Hoodies here once again for another MGTOW video where we focus on my observations regarding the world around me, relationships, and how I become the best man in light of the MGTOW philosophy. So I want to bring up a good comment from, I think his name is Blue Pills, or Suicide Pills, who brought up a really good, simple definition about MGTOW I was trying to create the other day. And he said, to enjoy life in your own way and not to conform to society's norms. It's a great definition. I'm looking for a definition or a slogan to work off of for this channel, so please keep sending those comments my way. I'll be sure to respond to you guys. I always check my comments once or twice a day, and I'll get back to you. So thanks for that comment. That was a good one, and I want to start off the video with that today. But maybe that'll be a thing. I'll look for the best comment I got that day, and then the next day when I upload a video, we're going to touch on it. So if there is a way you get a little shout-out, I'll make sure to give that to you. So today I wanted to talk a little bit, not as much about a structured topic, but an anecdote, some situation that I had where I kind of ran into a guy that ended up being MGTOW, or at least not fully MGTOW, but Purple Pill, and I don't think he realized it. So just the other day, I was heading into my dorm. At the front of the dorms at my school, we have security guards as opposed to a door that needs you to scan in, or a resident assistant. So these guys are third-party security guards the school hires. You need to have them scan you in with your cards each time that you go into the building. And if you're bringing a guest in, you need to have the security guard sign you in and your guests. So they get to meet both of you and your guests over time. Maybe someone has a girlfriend or a boyfriend. They kind of strike up conversations. So that's kind of what happened. And this one day, there were two guys there. Let's call them Dan and Bruce. And I had gotten to know Dan really, really well over the last year, and just this last year, I was dating my second of two girlfriends that I've had, and I would have Dan sign her in many, many times. And the dude is older. He's quite a talker, and he will get you, and he will not let you go for 40 to 50 minutes. Like, he'll just get you. He wants an audience, basically, and he tells some good stories, but also some stories that you definitely think, they're definitely tainted with lies, a little bit of hyperbole, but over time you could tell that he grew to have some affection and interest in the girl I was dating at the time. I could clearly tell that he was trying to show off to her, even though the dude's, you know, like two generations older. So, and she kind of took a liking to it. You know, it's attention from a guy. It's, you know, regardless of the age, it's enjoyable for a girl. Girls like that. And he would always ask me about her when I was heading to the building. She wasn't there, and he'd always pose questions about the seriousness of our relationship, and some pretty personal questions too. And he'd always be like, you know, how serious are you guys? You better like lock her up, like she's a good one. And the thing is, like, you're around her like an hour a week sometimes at most, and you're making these assumptions about what I should do with her. You don't know what she's like every other hour of the day that I'm with her. Whether it be in the car, or we're talking about something, we're just hanging out, we're going to get something to eat, we're, you know, dealing with things throughout our day, whatever the heck they are, and you make this assumption, but he somehow got always on the topic of like beating up people and showing a lot of bravado when he was telling stories to her, and, you know, it just got kind of old. And anyway, let's go 5 months into the future. I'm not dating this chick anymore, and this is just recently. And I come into the dorm seeing him for the first time since leaving for the summer. And the first thing that he asked me after not seeing him for whatever this amount of time is, 4 months, is whether or not I'm dating this chick anymore. And mind you, he would tell me that she was a keeper, as I said, and she's one of those girls that you don't have to know for a long time. You can just tell that she's your friend and someone to talk to. Sure, that's nice of him, whatever. But, you know, when he makes these assumptions, he's making these assumptions that are going to be overly positive of this person, as you give the best presentation of themselves that is possible each time you interact. It's like running into a guy at the bar. Or, you know, a girl that runs into a guy at the bar, maybe he's a total deadbeat, or he's a total scum, but, you know, he says he's got 30 years of his life to draw off of, and he said, yeah, I've done this once. Like, yeah, I have some sponsors for MMA, I work out a lot, like, you know, like George Costanza makes the thing, if you take the sum of my life and put it into one day, it's a pretty good day or something. It's essentially the same thing when you go to a bar and you talk to a guy and you run into him for the first time. Maybe he's a total scum, he's done nothing, but you know, all you have to do is fill the air for 30 minutes, so you're going to sound pretty good. The same thing happens here. So I say to him that I'm no longer dating her, and he's in, like, you know, disbelief. He's like, you know, he asked me what happened, how a breakup went down, whether or not it was mutual, all these really personal things. And I know Dan, but not at the point where you think he'd be asking me these questions. And if I didn't have the ex-girlfriend, that I'd highly doubt you that he'd be asking me these personal questions. I mean, we might have talked, you know, I'm down to do that. But these personal questions, like, I don't, man, like, you're in my life right now. You know, I can't imagine that going that much further once I'm out of this place. But you know, I didn't want to say too much specifics about it. I just, and or speak negatively about her to him. So I just said that it was mutual. We grew to realize there was very little different. We shared in common. I wanted to go elsewhere with my life. I was in that stage where I was after my first date breakup, and I was like, you know, I kind of stumbled upon MGTOW and Red Pill, and those thoughts have been creeping after my first go around with that, with dating. And I was like, you know, this is the way to go. And so I get to her and I'm not into it. I'm jaded. And I was in a vulnerable state. You have HALT, you know, if you ever heard of that, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. I was in that L. I was in the lonely stage and I got susceptible. So I went with this chick. It ended. So it was a good thing. But there are many things that end a relationship, and I'll talk about them in another video. But the main thing was that she didn't think that I was invested into her as I should have been. So, and that's definitely a classic criticism. I didn't say that to him, but to get me out of this situation, this is where this other guy comes in. Bruce, it's clear that he's popped some red pills in his time. Just totally different personality. And the first thing out of his mouth when I said I wasn't dating her was good, like an emphatic good. And he said, never marry, which is shocking for, the dude's probably 60. You should, or 50s, I'd say. You should never marry, only date. But if you do date, make sure you never marry and make sure it's a girl from the Philippines. So, you know, I'm cracking up inside. I'm like, yeah, I was like, almost broke down. I was like, yeah, I was talking on YouTube to people about this the other day. And this whole MGTOW thing. And, you know, maybe I'll stumble upon him again and I'll just be talking to him and I'll bring this up. But now I'm cracking up here. And I get two perfect representations of a red pill and a blue pill angel versus demon on my shoulder going at it. So I responded by saying, I completely agree with him. And I believe marriage is broken today and it shouldn't be pursued. I even questioned him when he said he would marry Eastern women or Filipino women. It's like a lot. It's like, you know, if you really have to dabble in that, that's probably what you should do. But I questioned him on that because I think he interestingly, he had married one himself after breaking up with his ex-wife, who was an American. And when he was married to his ex-wife, the American, he even said that his brother-in-law told him to break up with his sister, that he'd found a Filipino girl at this party the other day and would really like to meet him and would be interested in him. And as he was married to this dude's sister, his brother-in-law is crazy. But long story short, he goes on to marry her. I'm not sure if those two are still together, the Filipino girl and him, but it didn't appear like he had to go scout her out MLB style in the Philippines. So it's not the only situation of a failed marriage that I've actually seen come out of a Filipino hookup. Recently, someone else in my life who had a brother, he went overseas, picked up a girl out of a crowd, who knows how, I don't even want to think about that, and brought her back to the U.S., paying all of her expenses to bring her here, goes on to marry her, has two children, you know what comes next, they get divorced, and this person, the sibling of this guy, was talking to the parents about it, about the decision, and when the parents were extremely naive about the outcome, and they didn't see a worst case scenario, but she proposed that the worst case scenario would be them to get married, have kids, get divorced, and she takes them back to the Philippines with her getting custody too. So as of now all this has happened short of bringing them back to the Philippines with her. So, you know, that could happen still, but I've had a couple comments talking about this situation, and frankly, while it's more likely for a marriage like this to succeed, as a security guard did say that his wife of his and her family, the Filipino family, did everything to help him out. Like, he drove Uber, she would help him with certain things with that. Like, you know, that guy had a head injury, she would remind him to take his meds, like really specific, just, you know, supportive Which is very distinct, and it's more affiliated with that Eastern culture and that Eastern family nucleus. But the thing you can't risk with this is the money and the unknown. Like whenever you date, but especially when you bring a woman and marry a woman out of her original culture and bring her into a different culture, and especially one that's materialistic, self-worshipping, feminized, feminized to the point where women are like goddesses, in the United States, Western Europe, and Canada in particular, you risk the unknown. You risk what this is going to do and how this is going to inflate her identity. And you might be taking a woman out of abject poverty and is extremely conservative. And the conservatism part's good, but the poverty part is not. So when they get the wealth and then they combine that with their own power, money and the power, like, you know, Kid Ink said it best, Lil Wayne that said it best, you know, it's like thing you never know what's gonna happen to these girls. They're gonna change. So you're foregoing this risk that she'll become enchanted with the Western world in front of her. And that's kind of one of the things I learned. And I'm gonna talk about a couple more of these things that I learned, but overall this encounter was great. Just seeing a blue pill and a purple pill, purple pill, slash red pill perspective on women in the same room. I did not expect it. But it shows you that, you know, you don't really need to know people, and this stuff is always at the forefront of their mind. It's always going on. It's always important to them. So, from this, I learned a number of things. So, number one, I'm going to tie this back into how Dan, we're calling Dan, was with my ex-girlfriend. So, she's very, I would say, like, neotenous looking. And so, if you don't know what nyatni means, it's like the attractiveness to youth, and it comes through in like Japanese anime and all that crap. But so the power of young women to grace and fool older men. So obviously you have that gold digger, sugar daddy, sugar baby thing, but it also can go the other way in terms of older men, even though they've passed through the wisdom that they've learned about women and everything, you know. Even when I was dating this girl, I could see that his whole world lit up when she was around. We would be sucked into conversation with him for an hour at a time. He would tell stories out of the, you know, on the most outlandish level. And the dude's energetic and welcoming. I give him that. But to see the power of a smile from a young girl and putting a spell on an older man, as it did with me too, shows the crippling power that females have over men, which is just simple interaction. When they're attractive and youthful, they don't even need to say anything of substance, and you just get thrown off by the freaking pheromones. And it reduces our needs and our highbrow thoughts to mere reactions and emotions. And I had another comment talking about the power of women, the women using the power of emotion. They're naturally apt to do that more than men. And so that's going to put you at risk. So part of this obviously is it gives older man a glimpse into the youth that he lost, and it reignites some vigor within him. I definitely see that with, like, I have one remaining grandmother, and when I'm around her, it kind of brings her some energy. You know, you see some youth back in it. She's like 92, so that's healthy. But he was genuinely upset when he found out I broke up with her, and couldn't figure out how that happened. Not only will he not see her anymore, but you know, it's just amazing. You know, like. Maybe he's looking for some interest, something interesting in his life. I don't know. But once again, this dude's great and friendly. But when you step back and look at the situation, once again, reiterates the power that a fertile woman will have on the man from a on the on a man from the point that he reaches puberty all the way until his grave. So we need that stash of red pills by us, and we need people like Bruce by us. So another thing is catch MGTOW young. That's the second thing. So Bruce, he was, you know, essentially MGTOW. He was initially mainly focused on pumping and dumping technique, and continually noted how I absolutely needed to use a condom, like, you know, over and over. And I was like, dude, it's okay, chill, like, you know, don't freak out, man. Like, I'm not with her anymore. Like, you know, I'm not gonna play that game. And that's good advice for someone still wants to have sex with women and wants to run the risk involved with that. And man, just spend the $8. Like, if you're gonna have sex. Versus the $300,000, you know. Either way, it's not really worth it. But it's awful. It's also rough to see someone, and it's rough to see someone who is it was now MGTOW because of a divorce, and a tragic separation caused by a female turned out to be a dud, and she apparently was. So, you know, just imagine the life that he could have lived. He was a lieutenant, and the amount of money, the amount of time, he probably wouldn't even have to be a security guard right now. if he had discovered this before his divorce, he kept reiterating how much dogs were like the only people that were loyal. And, you know, I will say that loyalty is lacking today. It certainly is with the amount of options that we have to just jump to the next person. And you're not living in these tight communities, so you're not forced to be loyal. But, you know, I think that's part of just being scarred from these previous relationships he had with chicks that really turned him against this concept of loyalty. Because, you know, as much as we like to be negative about it and cynical, I think there are still loyal people out there. And, you know, I've seen examples of it. But, you know, once again, some men get lucky. Some men know about MGTOW, but then run across a woman who you think is in a wall and you get blind and love blinds you. And she turns out to be a snake in the grass. And catching MGTOW young is more common today. But I think we go in phases. We might catch it at 20 and then we lose it. And we pick it up at 24 and it ebbs and flows. And staying consistent is only possible through community. It's just like anything. And, you know, considering that this guy uses a flip phone still, I don't think that he's going to catch MGTOW as it is online, which is okay. You don't necessarily need to know MGTOW to reap the benefits. I think he's good with the point of his life. It's not really going to, you know, you're kind of point past that point where you're going to be really finding other women easily. But it's just nice and edifying to have around you to see a guy like that. So thirdly is another thing. I'm just kind of bolding, but there are other things for sure, obviously. At one point during this conversation, I was taken back by a question that the guy named Bruce posed for me. It's one that it's weighed on my mind significantly before as I've dated, and it's kind of reemerged as I broke off both of my dating relationships. He asked me, do you stay in touch with your parents? And, you know, because that's really important. I'm lucky if I get a phone call once a month from my two mid-20-year-old sons. So this really struck me because I didn't keep in touch with my parents during, which is like combined to be 2 years of my life that I've dated. Accidentally at first, I think it was, then kind of subconsciously cut off my parents from talking to me. Whether it's when they were visiting me at college, I wanted to avoid them. I remember a time they saw me pitch a game and I pitched the whole game and it went to like 11 o'clock at like 10 o'clock at night and they'd come from like 5 hours away. And I hadn't seen them for a while and we were going to go out to eat. And I was like, nah, my girlfriend's like, she wants to go see this movie. And I just blew them off. Like, I didn't even think twice about it, but I was just cutting them off subconsciously. And I used to talk to them once a week for like 2 hours, you know, on the phone call for each phone call. And I let it go. And I found myself creating this wall between me and them. And I began to see them as enemies. So my girlfriends, they wanted me to create these walls too between myself and them. I'll touch on these situations in which, you know, those happen in a separate video. Girlfriends want you to cut off your parents. They essentially told me that. And looking back on these times, I was an idiot. If there are two people that have sacrificed more on my behalf, it's my parents. I owe them everything a lot more. Yet both my girlfriends didn't see that and they wanted to remove me from that. And looking back on it, they wanted to take the affection I had for my parents and place it on them as a sign that I was maturing, leaving who had raised me, and moving on to the next stage of adulthood and partnership that they were desiring. Whether or not that's linked, or whether or not that's what they were implying by attempting to cut me off from them, I think that's what it was. But that's not respectful. That's not how we used to do things. The places and situations in this world and the cultures that really do it right, I think, some of the conservative thoughts on this is keeping the grandparents with the younger generation and their new home and taking care of them, because you're only there because of your parents. You're only alive because of them, regardless of how bad their marriage was or maybe that divorce or how they treated you. But I believe that a strong marriage is linked with strong relationships with both your parents and their in-laws. And a weak marriage and relationships are isolating. That's one of the main things in poor relationships is isolation. So you get cut off from the people you care about by those who want to control you. As my ex-girlfriends were creating, and I think that's what happened to Bruce as well with his ex-wife. So I just feel so much remorse for how I treated my parents during that time. But anyway, Bruce brought this back up in my mind, even though he didn't do it explicitly. He did it with a little nudge, a reminder that I needed right now. And those of you who are lucky to have your parents still and are lucky to have good relationships with them, let them know. Okay, let them know you're thankful for them and add them to the list of reasons why it's good for MGTOW men to avoid hunting for women. It puts them at, it puts you at risk of losing what you had before you went on the hunt, which is oftentimes friends, siblings, or even parents. I've lost friends too. It sucks. So overall, it's just very interesting. It's a very interesting clashing of generations going on that I ran into the other day discussing MGTOW marriage and dating. I don't think I've ever had such an in-depth relationship about women that has involved a peer, my father. Take heed of men that are older than you. Okay, that's why. That's a reason why some of the most popular MGTOW content creators are like in their mid-30s or later. And the rest of the internet, you know, throughout the rest of the internet, they've been through it. They know the happenings. They have the stories. So once again, men, if you stayed through and listened this whole rant, I'm amazed. I really appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, please like, comment, subscribe, and even send me an email. That'd be awesome. So direct message, whatever. Pose a question, stir up a convo, throw out a suggestion for a new topic to look into. I definitely will respond, and I will for sure take each bit of input to heart. So thanks again, guys. Stay strong, stay grounded out there, and enjoy the start of the August weekend. Sunrise hoodie throwing up the hoodie.